The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and on the Breakfast Grill with me this morning, Syed Sadiq, Syed Abdulrahman, Youth Wing Head, Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, and Zaid Al-Barudin, Executive Secretary of Barisan Nasional Youth. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, a big fan.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now you can join us in this conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899. Remember, add your name if you're going to WhatsApp us because we won't have your identity there. Want to begin, guys, with a quick kind of statement of where you're at in your own political careers. Are you going to be standing in the upcoming general election? I'm going to begin with you, Zaida. Will you be standing? Are you going to either the state seat or a federal seat, parliamentary seat, this coming GE14?
I'm pretty sure I won't, and I don't think
Why
I'm
not?
Ready for it. I don't think I'm ready for it. I started off as an engineer for 6 years in R&D and 1.5 years in the business development. And then I jumped a Dana Fellow, and that's how I jumped into politics at the young age of 30 years old. As opposed to Sadiq, which is much younger than I am.
You weren't born into a family that's very political. They didn't sign you up as a member.
I came from a middle class. My parents weren't politicians. I came from a middle class family. My father was a former serviceman. He worked in the private sector. My mother was a kindergarten teacher. So I spent a big chunk of my youth in my 20s actually in the private sector as an engineer.
Right. Sadiq, you.
Yep.
There's, of course, a high expectation that you will be running just because of your kind of prominence within the party.
Yep.
Are you going to be standing and where will you be standing?
In Malay, we call it soalan cepumas. The reason why it's difficult for me to answer now is because it depends when Najib will dissolve parliament. I still have my master's in Oxford to go to in September. So if he pushes it back to August, then I'm screwed big time because I can no longer afford to postpone my master's anymore. But where I'll be, if it is done before, which most probably Najib will do before Anwar is released, most probably somewhere in Johor, but whether it is confirmed or where the seat is at, it's up to Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin.
By the way,
this is not a safe answer. By the way,
I'm pretty sure. Look, I'm pretty sure he has a seat by now, but he won't announce it.
We'll leave that.
We'll take this off air.
So we'll take you at face value for starters. I want to begin with one of the questions that came in on Twitter, and it's a very serious question. Zaidal, you're from UMNO.
Yes.
Sadiq, you're from Bersatu. Both parties are ethnic based, and somebody's asking, Do you still believe in ethnic-based political parties? I'm going to begin with you, Zeta.
Actually, yeah, that's a very good question, especially for Sadiq as well. Here's the thing. Now, in UMNO, we had this long history in how it started and why it became that way. And that's why we had Barisan Nasional for the compromise. I know this because I'm the Barisan Nasional Executive Secretary. We need minorities represented. If UMNO BN is one big party, right, by itself, it's very hard to have representation amongst minorities, especially in the smaller parties, in the regional parties, in Sabah and Sarawak. For instance, parties in Sabah, some of them are, they only have seats in Sabah and mostly state seats and some parliamentary seats. If it's one big mega party, the voices of minority communities might be drowned out. But I understand that the youth, they prefer something that is more not community-based. They like to see themselves as Malaysian first. And Sadiq is one of the people that really espouse for that. So I am a bit disappointed that young leaders who talk about idealism and such, but when political pragmatism comes in, you see Bersatu had to take that route.
Okay, that's a very interesting jab at you, Sadiq. Yes, I think there was some disappointment that you chose, of all the parties available to you, a party that was ethnic-based. Why did you choose that? Do you still think, knowing our history and knowing the dynamics that Zaidal just kind of laid out for us, why did you join an ethnic-based party?
Well, first thing first, I don't think ethnic-based parties will last long. And I've mentioned this openly to the media and also the top leadership of the party. I predict once we take over Putrajaya and we institute institutional reforms, free up the media, ensure that education can no longer be racialized, I think in 10 years' time, in two terms, Bersatu and even most probably UMNO will open up to all races. At the moment, we have already set up a transition model. It is a compromise model. What proof do you have? I don't just speak using words, actions. First thing first, in the youth wing of the party, I personally appointed Nan Bumis in the top leadership of the party, youth exco members. At the same time, the constitution allows for the transitioning to happen, where we allow for associate membership to register. It is not perfect, but it is a road to progress to ensure that that transition will take place. However, in order for that transition to take place, we need to ensure that we can win the election, pierce through UMNO's fortresses, like the ones in Pengerang and Kota Tinggi and the rest, in which the Bumiputra majority of 95% will demand for that ethnic-based party. But we must ensure that the transition will take place.
Can I take
Zaidal
to
task? You can do anything you want. Zaidal, I want to ask you.
Sure.
Do you think that this idea that ethnic-based parties are seeing that their term coming to an end, that this that there is,
yes,
that they're actually on the shelf? I mean, this is a prediction that Sadiq makes for all ethnic-based parties, not just UMNO, not just, you know, but also maybe the others as well.
He points out a very good thing right there. If I was a Bersatu member, I'd be very worried with his statement just now, where he said that Bersatu won't last long. Basically, that's what he just said.
What?
Now, because he said, because, you know, he listed that ethnic-based party won't last long and the Bersatu will be open. Look, I think that's just an excuse. PKR is a multiracial party. DAP is a multiracial party.
So why don't UMNO open up?
That's the thing. That we are doing
why
it by
doesn't KJ appoint non-Bumis exco members?
Yes, there is. I'm the BNU, the executive secretary.
No,
that's
in UMNO.
What we
in
have
UMNO. That. I can do that in Pakatan Harapan as well. In UMNO. Sadiq. We've done something. What has UMNO
okay,
done?
Okay, let's before we get into a free fall. Sadiq, I just want to ask you the reality of, because we look back in history, we had Aun Ben Jaffa also, you started Parti Negara. You know, there was and has been this dual impulse in Malaysian society. Yep. But it seems that, you know, there's a lot of insecurity out there. In fact, we had a recent survey done that a lot of urban Malays are concerned about the so-called Malay agenda. Yep. You know, do you think that will go away in the next 10 years?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, the most important prerequisite for a flourishing multiracial Malaysia is institutional reforms. Once you free up the media, you free up education, you ensure that issues of corruption cannot be racialized, or where a leader, for example, a Malay leader can say, well, maybe my party might be corrupted, but it's much better than having Lim Kit Siang as the Prime Minister of Malaysia. Once you reform institutions of democracy, often that will act as a critical precursor for the opening up of Malaysian society, which will benefit all Malaysians, regardless of race and religion. And I believe that's critical.
Zaidal, if there was a scenario, okay, just a hypothetical, the scenario in which UMNO decided, to open up its doors to a whole range of other communities and become non-racial, would that be a day that you leave UMNO?
Here's the thing. No, it won't. Actually, UMNO have Christian members. Not many people know that. We actually have Christian youth leaders and Christian leaders in
this
Sabah.
This was from the absorption of some Sabahan parties,
and
right?
Because it's Bumiputra and Malay-based parties. It's actually, it is for the rights of Bumiputra and Malay-based parties. But he did mention, Sadiq mentioned about institutional reforms, and this is where the concern of some of the Malay constituents are. And I think it'd be good if you could address this. Because many of them are unsure of what is Pakatan Harapan stand on institutional things like MARA, like JAKIM, like what is the position of the religious authority in Malaysia? How about the Sharia courts? Because at the same time, the Malay constituents are listening to rhetorics from, let's just say, the Democratic Action Party, uncertain on the liberal wing of the Parti Keadilan Rakyat. You know, when there's a clash between JAKIM, what's your stand? What's your stand on the Sharia court? Should the civil court be more powerful than the Sharia court?
How about
conversions?
That's
the thing.
Yeah, let's begin with stances, right? So, Sadiq, I've been begin with you. The question of whether Malaysia is a secular state or not, what's your position on that?
I think inherently it is a combination of both. It's very hard to say that Malaysia is purely secular, or at the same time it's very hard to say that Malaysia is Islamic, because you need to balance it out between Article 3 and existing freedoms in which enshrined with it, and Article 4 as well of the Federal Constitution. So I think it's somewhere in between. But most critically, I think the way forward for Malaysia, as I mentioned, is for fellow Malaysians to make that very decision. But in order for fellow Malaysians to make that decision, to partake in the democratic process, you need to ensure that that democratic process is free and just, to ensure that fellow Malaysians can be fed with right decisions so that they will become informed voters. Once that happens, that's when you unshackle them and they are allowed to partake in the nation-building process.
Zaidal, your party, UMNO, has been cooperating with PAS over the amendments to the Sharia Court Act, 355, that will introduce hudud in not just in Kelantan, because Kelantan already has the enactment on the books, it's had it for several decades, but might open the floodgates to hudud throughout the country, especially the peninsula. We've already had Sabahan and Sarawakan parties component parties of the Barisan Nasional saying, we don't want this. It's not part of the Malaysia Agreement. Where do you stand on your party's attempt to help pass, push through 355?
Well, first and foremost, how do we look at it? I look at it as a way of strengthening the Sharia courts, because right now, Sharia court has no teeth to bite. And there are real cases where people aren't that afraid with Sharia courts. What do you call it? Hukuman apa?
The punishments are
too weak and stuff like that. But regardless of what, in the end, we'll go back to our roots, and that is, in the end, Barisan Nasional works in consensus. If Sabah and Sarawak disagrees with it, it's not going to happen. Sarawak itself holds a lot of seat with us. So Barisan Nasional is always on the forefront. When we go to elections, it is Barisan Nasional.
I'm speaking to Syed Saddiq, Syed Abdul Rahman, a youth wing head of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, and Zaid Al-Bahrudin, Executive Secretary of Barisan Nasional Youth. Remember, you can join this conversation at any point in time by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9. If you just joined us, I'm Shoaib Kutin. With me this morning are Zaid Al-Bahrudin, Executive Secretary, Barisan Nasional Youth, and Syed Saddiq, Syed Abdul Rahman, a youth wing head of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. Remember, you can join this conversation at any time by tweeting us at BFM Radio and WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899. We're getting a lot of tweets and WhatsApp messages coming
in the morning.
Yeah, it's not that early. Everybody's kind of on their way to work, I guess.
Hopefully not typing in the car.
Yeah, don't tweet and drive. Please don't tweet and drive.
Okay.
Do not do that.
I want to mention this a recent factoid that we have is that under 30s form two-thirds of the 3.7 million individuals, voters, who are eligible but have not registered. That's an extraordinary number considering the enthusiasm over the last decade for politics. It seems to have waned. A lot of Merdeka Center Watan poll found that 70% of youth say they had no interest in politics, but they say they have an interest in where the economy is going, and they're interested in corruption or they're concerned about corruption. In fact, 57% of them think that the country is heading in the wrong direction. Now, if 50%, Zaidel, 50% of these youth think the country is heading in the wrong direction, that is the responsibility of your government.
Yes.
Why do you think they have not been persuaded by UMNO and Barisan Nasional that the country is heading in the right direction?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to question that poll. I'd like to see the data on how they get it. But this is the point I want to make. Look, you can complain and you can be very critical of us. I'm all for it. If you are critical on certain issues, please, by all means. But you need to do two things. Number one, you need to register to vote. Do not come and complain. Yeah. Come and see me and say that I am unhappy with this, but you're not willing to participate in the democratic process, not really willing to be part of the political discussion or discourse, then by all means, this is a BN guy telling you, register to vote, because you know your concerns are my concerns as well. I didn't come from a political family. I'm just like you. I was in the private sector. Second part is this, be fair to us. If you're critical to us, be as critical to them. Yep. Question their numbers. Question their budget. If you don't like corruption that you see may happening in the government, question the state government as well. Be critical and register to vote.
Okay, Saddiq, so you're in the hot seat now. The question of the record of Pakatan Rakyat, now Pakatan Harapan,
yep.
And also over this recent debacle of the choosing of your chairman, of your party head, Tun Dr. Mahathir, as the candidate for prime minister, that's created a lot of factional fighting in the public. And I think, you know, and I'm going to guess that a lot of young people look at politicians today and they see this open warfare, they see this jostling for positions, and they are turned off by it.
Yeah, firstly, I want to start off by going, I think the jostling or the so-called infighting is not as bad as people portray it to be. Obviously, TV3, Utusan Britaharian played that up daily, but if you look, even MB Azmin released a statement yesterday and 2 days ago stating that he supports the lineup and supports Tun Dr. Mahathir in particular.
Only
and
after saying that Selangor PKR was not part of the discussion.
I think he corrected it, yeah, because he said that Selangor PKR was not consulted, but all parties, or at least the top leadership of all parties, came up with a consensus decision. But while people look at that pessimism, we've created history. Never has there been an opposition coalition this early even before Parliament is dissolved, fully finalising seat allocations, never has it been. Secondly, finalising the PM and DPM position. Never have we been more united and prepared for elections even before Parliament is dissolved.
Zainal, do you think facts like that excite young people? People who are not professional politicians, who are not professional activists, do they see that and say, oh yeah, that's something to cheer about? Or do they think, well, okay, so they came to some sort of decision. That was their job in the first place. But they are distracted by politics and the opposition coalition, or even your own coalition, are full of big egos who are only looking out for themselves.
Of course not. I've never heard anyone under 30 say, oh my God, they've allocated seats. Yay! Never happened. Look, here's the thing. You know, and Sadiq is, I like him. He's a young man. He has idealism and such. It's true. I'm gonna give him credit that, yeah, that's not so much infighting in the party in regards of Dr. Mahathir becoming the supposedly prime minister candidate, but there's a lot of disappointment in the public. You know, the name Harapan, hope. But in the end, Pakatan Harapan went back to this fake nostalgia that things were better in the 90s, that things were dead. And if you want to say, today we're talking about youth participation in politics, and yet you feature someone who has been prime minister for 22 years, who was in our president for quite a long time. I'm not questioning his credentials per se, but I think I share the same sentiment with a big chunk of the youth vote that, you know, we were hoping for someone younger. I thought Azmin would be a better candidate.
Okay, so this is provocative. Tell us, how do you justify that? Because we've seen around the world older candidates like Bernie Sanders exciting a youth base. I mean, this is not unthinkable.
You can't compare Bernie Sanders to Dr. Mahathir. No.
Well, okay, maybe not. But let's give Sadiq the mic now.
Sure.
How do you explain this choice? And do you think young people are this choice is resonating with young people?
Sure. I can assure you, if people like Macron and Trudeau competes in Malaysian democracy today, they'll be wiped off. Unfortunately, Malaysian democracy at the moment is not perfect. And that's why I keep on stressing on the need of institutional reforms and us moving as a team. I want to talk about Tun Dr. Mahathir for a while. People say he's really old. Let's look back at his past track record, specifically in uplifting youth leaders and giving them positions. If you look back then, in the 1980s, the one in UMNO who converted the post of chief ministers to become areas in which youth leaders within UMNO, Pembunuh UMNO, to climb up, people like Rais Yatim, people like Rahim Tan Bee Cik, all climb up, was Tun M. And for someone that old, to appoint a 23-year-old graduate from IIUM, from a middle-class family, no political links whatsoever, as a youth chief and vice president of the party, I think that's something which is unique. But most importantly, I always want to stress on this, we are a team. This is not UMNO, the big brother of Pakatan Harapan. We have amazing people, like you rightfully pointed out. Azmin Ali, Nurul Izzah, Rafizi Ramli. So many young leaders as MPs, as potential ministers, chief ministers. We move as one solid team. But the most important thing is for us to win election and reform Malaysia and change Malaysia once and for all.
Okay, Sadiq, you know, you mentioned Dr. Mahathir's track record. That's exactly the same track record that people point to when they say, this is a man who's never been able to follow through with his succession plans, right? I mean, he's undermined all his successes. Now, by the same token, Zaidel, the Prime Minister, Najib Razak, also comes with baggage. And we've had the debacle over 1MDB these last 2 years, creating the most horrendously negative headlines for the country. And, you know, of course, while the case is closed here, it is still being investigated in seven jurisdictions overseas. Now, is that something that plays on your mind? You're a young person. Are you carrying the burden of older politicians with track records you don't necessarily agree, are happy to be associated with?
Look, if you're young and you're in politics, you will carry the burden of your seniors.
But is that opportunism?
It's a fact of life. If you're in DAP, there's a burden of it. If you're in BN, there's a burden of it. There are grand old men in both parties. In DAP, you have the Lims and the Karpal. In PAS, you have Hadi Awang and Ding Aziz dynasty. In PKR, you have Anwar Ibrahim. And so is us as well. And here's the thing, that the message that I want to send. You know, I know maybe other people have been saying quite differently and I'm going to take a different tune. It's okay for you to be critical of us, by all means. And if you're critical on certain issues, be it issues of the day, as you just mentioned, or Felda, or anything. But please bear in mind, be fair to us. And if you are just as critical to us, be as critical to them as well. You know, as if you are critical in some issues in Felda, be critical on, say, sand mining or the bungalow issue or the tunnel issue in Penang. And after you've made your decision by questioning both parties, by questioning their policies, and you made the decision, regardless of what the decision is, I will respect it.
Okay, Zadig, there's a question for you coming from WhatsApp. Is that, how can a party like Bersatu, which promotes institutional reforms, pick a chairman who's primarily responsible for the 1988 judicial crisis?
The beauty, as I mentioned, is that we move as a team and we've put commitments on paper in writing, signed it. And even if, for an example, the chairman in the future makes a U-turn, not only will the other component parties speak up because this is a power parity situation, no, I'm no big brother, I myself will be the first one to speak up. The beauty of being in the opposition, the beauty of being in Bersatu, despite people saying having a dictatorial chairman, a former dictatorial chairman, I can openly disagree. I can tell you I work for that chairman. I've disagreed on so many policy decisions. I've talked about AUKU and he has put it on paper to reform AUKU to ensure that there will be separation of powers and enforce democratic institutions. He has mentioned it even in our party's AGM quite openly.
Okay, so why choose him, Sadiq? Is it a pragmatic move? And have you explained that to your base? Have you explained to young people that this is about, you know, numbers?
Yeah. So first thing first is I always like for the young people and for fellow Malaysians to focus a lot more about the future. It is a combination of pragmatism and idealism. I, among all Malaysians, want to see students in particular being liberated from the shackles of political institutions. I want to ensure that democratic institutions are empowered. But for that to happen, we need to pierce through UMNO's fortresses, areas in which UMNO has won by 15 to 20,000 majority due to money politics, due to race nostalgia. The person who could pierce through that fortress is none other than Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim.
Can
we
I
will move forward.
That?
Absolutely. Zaidel.
See, what you see here right now, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's purely political pragmatism. It's not idealism. It's about winning elections. It's about vengeance against the Prime Minister. That's what
vengeance.
It is. Of course it is. Come on. Now,
I'll
that is.
I'm a fan of the Prime
then,
Minister. It's no problem.
That's the thing. So, I love it how we talk about idealism, but there's a saying in this, and it may be sound a bit crude, but revolutionaries make great lovers but lousy husbands. And when you see the stand that they jump from here, I don't want to touch on Bersatu. Let's go as simple as PKR. Before that, they had Barisan Alternative and then Pakatan Rakyat and now Pakatan Harapan. If you hear Nurul Izzah stand on Hudud itself, go ahead, Google on YouTube where Nurul Izzah and Empat Saksi. When her father was put in a corner on that sodomy case, suddenly she talks about Hudud and the need to find four witnesses in Islam. Where is that stand
now?
I please respond because at that time they were with PAS. That's the thing. What you see here is not idealism. I mean, Sadiq has that idealism. But in truth, the reason why Dr. Mahathir is the candidate for PM Pakatan Harapan, because it's political pragmatism. Okay, they want
respond.
To win.
Yeah. Very quickly, your response.
So about that. First thing first is, I think even Zaidel does not mention about RU355 in Hudud. He even have component parties disagreeing quite openly.
I think I just answered that just now.
Even in Bersatu, right? Even in Bersatu, the so-called mirror of UMNO, right? Who's supposed to be very right-wing. Our chairman, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and myself have openly criticized the politicization of RU355.
So will you vote for RU355?
No,
none at all.
No.
Any amendments
I've opened
to the Sharia
it, I
court?
Said it quite openly. Because you said there's no thief. At the moment, it's 3 years imprisonment, 5,000 ringgit fine, 6 slashes. Under RU355, it will be 30 years imprisonment, 100,000 fine, and 100 slashes of the rotan. Voting, this is not about pragmatism.
It's not finalized yet, but you even don't want a debate about it.
I'm going to have to stop you
there.
That's
why we want to have that debate.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. I'm speaking to Syed Sadiq, Syed Abdul Rahman, youth wing head of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, and Zaid Al-Bahruddin, Executive Secretary of Barisan Nasional Youth. Stay with us because we're going to be coming back after the bulletin that's coming out right now. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9. If you just joined us, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me this morning are Zaidel Bahruddin, Executive Secretary of Barisan Nasional Youth, and Syed Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman, Youth Wing Head for Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, otherwise known as Bersatu. It's been a rather heated debate over a lot of things about the decisions that your respective political parties and coalitions have made over the last couple of months and such. But let's turn our attention back to young people, many of whom seem not to want to get involved in the political process. We're talking about millions here who are opting out. When you go out on the stump, when you start to deal with young people, let's begin with you, Sadiq.
Sure.
What are you saying to them to get them excited? I know you talk about transition. You talk about breaking through the fortress. Now, if you can leave that rhetoric aside, yeah. What exactly is it that they want?
In the end, when it comes to young people, it's a lot more, and not just young people, Malaysians, it's about bread and butter issues. They know about corruption. They know about 1MDB, but they also care a lot more about the food on your table. So that's where, when we go down, we focus a lot more on what we can do, what we can deliver. If you listen to Tun Mahathir's speech in the recent Pakatan Harapan's convention, I think 60% were dedicated on policy speech, on returning scholarships to those who genuinely need it, to ensure that education become more affordable, if not free completely. How do we then assist PTPTN loaners? How do we then assist to ensure that those in rural communities get agro-farming, get the kind of loans in which they deserve, to create more technopros? So I think in the end, it's about focusing, channeling the enthusiasm of institutional reforms and what can come from it into policy plans, and from there onward, reaching out to the grassroots to reach out to the community who needs it the most.
Zainal, you know, we've had a recent discussion about the promise by Pakatan Youth, or wish, something on the wish list was which is to have the English Premier League on RTM.
Now,
the question, well, you know, I don't want to get into that. What I want to point out to, it seems that both sides of the debate do the same thing. They promise handouts. They maybe feed a sense of entitlement that a lot of young people have already. And is that a bad thing? I mean, are you pandering to those insecurities that a lot of young people have who don't want to be open to the challenges of a globalized world?
Oh, no. I think, in a way, no, I don't think so. Because in the case of Barisan Nasional, whatever we offer and whatever that offer we put on the table, it's always being looked critically upon. It would always be questioned, is it really effective? And we're always put on our heels. And I don't mind that. For instance, certain policies, when we introduced BRIM, it was called cash handouts. We were given many names about it. But then, you know, when the other side does it, somehow they get a free pass. So what I'm saying is this, to the young people out there, question us by all means. Be critical of me. And if after I explain to you and you still do not subscribe to our policies, then it's our fault because we didn't explain it correctly. But by all means, put them to task.
Okay, I see you. You've been banging on this for quite a bit. You know, the fact that they seem to get a free pass when you don't. But Sadiq, I know that Pakatan gets a lot of flack as well, and also from their traditional supporters, who are now very disappointed with them, who think that in order for Pakatan to win this game, they're going to become more and more like Barisan Nasional. I mean, do you accept that there is a kind of convergence as a policy, essentially one of handouts, essentially one of mollycoddling young people and and future generations?
I disagree. If you look, people label Pakatan Rakyat nor Pakatan Harapan as a very populist government when they entered election in 2008, when they promised free water, buses, internet, affordable housing in Selangor, and yet it was successfully delivered up to today. Barisan Nasional, in the last election, promised to decrease the cost of cars by 30%, to build more than 1 million affordable housing, 500,000 from Prima, and when the minister answered in Parliament, only 8,000 was ready. I think in the end, the people can make that very decision. But to say that we are mirroring BN, I think that's blatantly wrong. If you look what's happening, a lot of the BN, former BN members and supporters who joined Pakatan Harapan are forced to support the reform agenda, institutional reforms, democratic empowerment for us to move forward. I was never a member of BN, I was never a member of UMNO. I believe for there to be a first-time change in government, because if we mirror BN in the future, when the people know that I've made a change before, they will punish us again, and maybe 10 years down the road, they'll elect UMNO again. But the point is, give us a chance.
You can.
Give us a chance.
Actually, I agree with him, but for different reasons. They're not mirroring BN. Because they're doing their populism politics. They're not doing the right thing.
And you don't think a Barisan Nasional can be open to the same charge?
No, it's because, put it this way, because if you look at their budget, it's a purely populist budget. The people who voted for GST back when they were in the cabinet now suddenly says GST is bad. And if you look into the budget, out of the blue, they'll save like 20 billion out of corruption, out of thin air, without explaining anything. They want
to
give back
now
subsidies on fuel. That's not a good policy for the future. That's not a responsible fiscal policy for the future.
Okay, talking about fiscal responsibility, the question, I mean, beyond fiscal responsibility, rather, sure. You know, the question of the NEP and its successor policies. Are you in support of the NEP and its continuing the issue of quotas and such? Is that something you see as the future of Malaysia?
Okay, well, this is where, this is my own personal view. And this is where my point, where maybe that is that part of me, maybe being different in the party. I think NEP needs to change a lot more. Not only does it need to address more targeted communities, for instance, that it's be more specific and it is more effective, but it also need to cover other minorities as well. I'm actually quite happy that the government is now taking proactive steps for the Indian community as well. And I would like to see it open more towards income-based rather than community-based.
But do you think your party, UMNO in particular, can win support if it moves towards a much more multiracial platform? Sadiq, you know, I just want to draw you near. We had a recent convention over the weekend, the Rise of the Ummah convention, where in fact, a suggestion that scholarships be cut off from minority candidates, right, minority students. What do you think is going on in the minds of those people who clearly cheered this policy suggestion?
Can I answer for that?
Let me get Sadiq's input first.
I followed the convention. I'm honestly sad, especially when it came from such a supposedly wise person. I don't know, maybe that person was brainwashed or maybe his point was misunderstood. But for my part, I clearly disagree. I mean, the ones who helped me to get where I'm at today, my best friend is Chong Hock Soon from the Royal Military College. I am who I am today because of his assistance, because of my trainers who are Nan Bhuv Mi's, who brought me to where I'm at today. And to deny them of the opportunity in which they deserve is just wrong. And especially, it didn't stop there. The person said that, well, we need to remember that only the Malays fought the communists, which again is historically false. But that rhetoric divides Malaysia in the long run. And to answer, even though you didn't ask me the controversial question about NEP, I will answer it. Because this is something which is also very close to my heart. And I plan to write a research paper on this when I complete my master's in Oxford University, which is on restructuring and reforming NEP. While we acknowledge the ones who suffer the most from subconscious subliminal discrimination in the private corporate world are the lower B40 Malays, if you look at two research done by UKM and UM, but to give privileges to all Malays, regardless of their economic status, I think something which should be looked in again. Okay, we must find a way forward.
Okay, we're running out of time. I need a kind of closing statement from you, Zaidel, before I get to Sadiq. I know this is a conversation that can continue very long. Thanks, everybody, for all those wonderful questions that came in that we couldn't answer.
Okay, just want to answer quite a bit. When you say just now, if we go outside of the normal NEP circle, we lose support and UMNO, this and that, I think that is a question that not every political issue needs to be solved with political manners. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. I agree with Sadiq that no, we should not belittle other minorities' contribution. Yeah. And what happened in Ummah, I reject that as well. As a son of a former serviceman, by discounting non-Muslims and non-Malays' contribution, their death and blood, is really something I can't accept that.
Yeah. Sadiq, your last statement.
Specifically to all fellow Malaysians, I know that we are imperfect. I know that the decision to name Tun Dr. Mahathir might be difficult to swallow. But just know this, Malaysia has never had a chance for change. We've never had a change in federal government for more than 60 years. Once that change happens, and if we fail, you are given the liberty to kick us out at any point in time because the appetite for change is there and has already taken place. Allow us to govern like what we've done in Penang and Selangor. And if we commit more wrongs, kick us out, allow for democracy to flourish for the betterment of all Malaysians.
Okay, thank you so much to both of you for joining us this morning. I've been speaking to Zaidel Baharudin, Executive Secretary, Barisan Nasional Youth, and Syed Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman, Youth Wing Head, Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. I'm Sharad Kutin. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.